When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Lions fans, we're talking about this game tomorrow, and your level of concern as the injuries mount. You wanted some drama. You wanted some intrigue. Green Bay, tomorrow night, and the latest injury report. Mm-hmm. Taylor Decker did not practice yesterday. Levi Onwuzurike, Josh Pascal, and DJ Reader all along the D-line did not practice. You know, of course, no Aiden Hutchinson, no Marcus Davenport. Throw in no Derek Barnes, no Alex Anzalone. This front seven has been ravaged with injuries, and you're playing a Green Bay team that's going to want to come in here and try to run the ball. So I do have a level of concern here that wouldn't ordinarily exist for a team that's won 10 in a row. Is the one seed in jeopardy? Your level of concern? We'll get to the phones. Ticket text 248-539-9797.
I can't believe I left out Marcus Davenport, because I mean they've had so many guys on IR. This one, the website I'm looking at only goes, you know, four. The depth chart goes four deep, and they didn't even include Marcus Davenport.
I mean, this team's depth has been so incredible that this is why they've gotten by to this point. They can survive these things, but I will say, for the first time, I'm a little bit troubled or concerned about the Reader one. One of the hidden gems on this, or hidden things about this team doesn't get enough talked about, is the run defense.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a running back coming in here tomorrow night that is very good at running between the tackles. It's his strength in my mind.
Yep.
He's willing to churn out 3-4 yard carries, and then he can bust one once in a while. But he's a grinder. Josh Jacobs is a grinder of a running back. And if Reader's not there, that alarms me. And I'm still kind of feel confident because the secondary is intact. But if a team, I've always thought one of the way you get to the Lions is you run on them, and you say, "Whoa, you're going to run against one of the best run defenses in the league." Yeah. You're going to come in with a good offensive line, which the Packers have, and you're going to do what the Lions do to you. And now with a guy out, see, I think Reader stops that from potentially happening with him and McNeil inside. But with Reader gone, I'm a little concerned about that.
Well, there was a selling point to this Lions defense. Again, one of the best defenses in football this year. Great turnaround story. Safety duo, D-tackle duo. They were kind of solidified at those two critical spots in the defense. And they still have the safety duo, but they do not have, especially if Reader doesn't play, they don't have that duo up front in the interior.
Well, you put Campbell in there, too, and you've got five studs
up the middle. Up the middle.
Up the gut. Old school baseball.
Yes. Center field, shortstop, catcher.
They build just up. Like the Tigers with Javi.
Seriously, in baseball, when I coach...
Just try to egg you on.
I'm not even going there. I'm ignoring it.
Happy birthday, by the way.
I'm done with you after that. Seriously. He sent a text the other day.
When they wished him happy birthday?
When the Tigers wished him happy birthday and sent it, trolled me and Costa.
I like pulling the pin and just rolling and see what happens.
I don't think we took the bait that day.
No, we didn't.
No.
Then you had to bring it up like 5 days. So what was it, November 30th?
I think December 1st.
Or 1st?
Who could forget?
Well, he got the contract November 30th from Uncle Al.
Happy birthday. Sorry.
We got to round
off the rails.
Up the middle. Lions are built their defense up the middle, and it starts at the line of scrimmage. We see it offense. We see it defense. They are all beat up at the line of scrimmage on defense. And the Decker thing is not inconsequential either, by the way, because if they are going to win this game in a shootout, John, They may give up some plays and some TOP, and it might be a grind for their defense. They're going to need to get them off the field. They're going to need to possess the ball. They're going to need to finish in the red zone, get sevens, keep up with Green Bay. Not having Taylor Decker, that's a key cog. It is. You're still laughing about Javi Baez.
No, I'm laughing because I usually am on Twitch earlier.
Yeah.
And I hopped on Twitch. Heather, you got to take a look at this because everybody's wondering if where's Costa?
Am I like hidden
in
this?
His voice? Oh, no.
Oh, you're just completely you're just, blacked out.
Not at all.
You're not there.
Yeah. It's like you're the there's that commercial. I think it's a Progressive commercial where, you know, they have the whistleblower. And it looks like you are the whistleblower. We should disguise your name as well.
Do you have it? So is it an outline of me?
Or disguise your voice. Sorry.
No, it's just a black screen.
No, it's just a black screen.
Can I get a voice changer? Like witness protection program?
Yeah, I'm curious as to where this camera is.
It's that camera, I think, which is.
I think lean back.
Oh, it's facing the wall.
Yeah.
Lean back?
No, the camera's turned.
Yeah,
it's facing.
Yeah, the camera's not on.
It's facing the wall.
Oh, it's facing the other way. Yeah. It's your best angle.
Guys, I've never looked better than if you go to Twitch right now. This is your peak.
Yeah. I got us off the rails a bunch of times in this segment.
You want to go off the rails? How about this ticket text? Penei Sewell for nose tackle.
Maybe that's what we ask Dan Campbell next week. We've seen him be a receiver. We've seen him, you know, try and throw the ball as a quarterback. Is the next thing he's going to be edge rusher? That's kind of where we're at in terms of trying to find bodies to play on defense. But I think you kind of hit the nail on the head when you're talking about Decker. This is going to have to be one of the best performances from this offense. And it's going to have to start early. If you want to, the recipe to lose this game is you allow the Packers to have a 3-point lead or even a touchdown lead going into the third or even fourth quarter where they can just sit there and grind away, run at a depleted defense versus if you can get up early, force the Green Bay Packers to play from behind and then attack where you have the healthiest of your units on defense, and that's the secondary.
I mean, they got Jamal Adams off the scrap heap. I mean, what, is Sue next? For the interior?
It's a little too late to add someone at this point. I mean, you got your guys.
I know.
But you're saying beyond. But then they get 10 days if they can get through. That's why this is such a big deal, guys. Yeah. If they can get through this, they avoid what would be an NFC loss. They get a 10-day window to try to get some of these guys back because it's not like they're ruled out for the season. A texter says, with all these injuries, it says, who is going to come back? So Onwuzurike, Pascal, and Reader are not done for the year. I mean, they may not play this week. They could play as quickly as the very next week. Alex Anzalone is expected back for the postseason. Khalif Raymond is expected back for the postseason. They will still get some reinforcements. They just got to make it there.
Right. I mean, and we all think they're going to make it to the postseason. So, yeah, reinforcements will arrive. But for the here and now, it becomes very difficult to field the defense. And the defense may look really good in the first quarter, even through the second quarter. They can hold on. But do they get worn down because of the number of just simple reps?
What's your concern? Because this person put it on a scale, said 4 out of 10. The injuries are scary, but I believe Glenn can claw his way out. It'll be hard, but pressure makes diamonds, Nick, in center line. I think for a normal team, I'd be at like a 7 level of concern. This is not a normal football team.
Right.
And I think they have the offense to win the shootout. I think he's probably right. 4 out of 10 level of concern. Just enough to get you going a little bit.
I'd be right around that. I might be more of a 5.
Okay.
Just simply because it's so vital for them to get up early. And I can't emphasize that enough. This is a game where the offense has to come out hitting on all cylinders. That opening drive. And it may be if they win the coin toss, this is one where we want the ball because we want to try and have as many possessions offensively as possible.
Let's get to the phone calls. Mike in Washington Township. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Lions Game Day Eve, fellas.
Yeah, you too.
Game Day Eve. What's up?
I am about 20% nervous for this football team. You know, when I was growing up, it was more of a defensive league. I feel like more it's changed into an offensive league. And our offense is pretty healthy still. If we go out there and put up 45-50, I don't think those Packers are keeping up. I think Glenn's going to have some nice schemes and those guys out on defense are going to get the job done.
Hey, 40, 50 points sounds great.
We're still talking about NFL defenses that they're playing against. Like, the Green Bay doesn't have a bad defense.
No, they don't have one at all. But, I mean, we went into Lambeau when they were supposed to win, and we ran all over that defense. So now the conditions are going to be fair. Well, what says that we aren't going to just run the ball down their throat once again?
Well, I think that's a huge part of it. That's going to be how you keep your defense from huffing and puffing. You give them a breather. They're not going to be forced to run right back out on the field if you can go 8, 10, 12 play drives. The other key, John, might be what they've really been able to take advantage of this season, a Jordan Love turnover, right? That's a quick, sudden change. Yeah. Get the defense off the field. Save their ass if they're in a bad situation. Get a takeaway. That helps the TOP. That keeps the defense off the field. And this defense has done a really good job taking the ball away.
They have. And again, I like the secondary. The secondary being healthy, Kirby Joseph is an absolute ball hawk back there. Brian Branch, a ball hawk, a guy that's going to – he's going to make you pay if you're going to catch a pass across the middle. But the question is, will they be able to apply enough pressure on Jordan Love to make those bad decisions?
He had a lot of time in the first game. He did.
Yeah, but the worst of his interceptions – was the one where he was under pressure and just said, here, have it.
Yeah, Kirby Joseph, I think, was
the beneficiary of that
down
one.
There, and he took the ball away. Jordan Love will give you the ball. He's among the NFL leader in interceptions. There's a play to be made in this game for the secondary, and they're going to have to make it. It feels like that's going to be something that can flip a game, that you're already going to be kind of down to the details. It's got to be one that they have that wins them the game. Texture says that, too. The secondary is good to go. That's the strength of this team. Jokes, come out in a 3-3 stack. Play as many defensive backs as you can. Put your best players on the field.
Yeah, and make them go the length of the field. Don't give them easy scores.
Yeah.
And it could be, it's just a matter of, can we, on offense, there's a team that loves to run the ball. They run the ball more than they pass. Play action pass. All of those different things. But on a 10-play drive that should end up in a touchdown, can they take 8 minutes off the clock, allow that defense as much time to rest, allow that defense as much time to not be on the field, right? Jordan Love and the receiving corps not on the field.
You know who didn't play the first meeting against the Packers that also could have a really big day? Wasn't on the team yet. Former Packer.
Well, Za'Darius Smith.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge guy to watch in this game, too.
I'm sure he'll be highly motivated.
Yes, he will. Ticket text phone calls, concern level 1 to 10. We mentioned Dan Campbell lookalike contest. You've seen these lookalike contests in the news, Heather. You've had a couple of them.
Oh, yeah.
Timothy Chalamet, I think, had one.
Yeah, he did.
There is a Dan Campbell lookalike contest.
Chalamet or Charlemagne?
Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet.
Oh.
Yes.
I've been saying it wrong.
Oh. Okay. The Dan Campbell lookalike contest was brought to Dan Campbell's attention yesterday. Mm-hmm. We'll play you his response next. It's 97.1.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years. With a focus on using the highest quality ingredients, you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all, and it's in the name. It's all-day IPA. Here's what you get. It's a refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer, easy drinking and high quality. All Day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. Speaking of great times, All Day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone on game days, whether you're in the stadium, at home, or at a tailgate. Visit foundersbrewing.com. to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I didn't know this was happening until Dan Campbell was asked about it at the podium. There's a Dan Campbell lookalike contest going on.
There is. It's December 8th. It's right around the corner.
Okay. I want to play the audio for people because Campbell did weigh in on this. But let's get a phone call in because we've been talking about these injuries and just want to wrap up that conversation. George in Metamora, your level of concern, Lions game day eve.
Hey, Costa, Jim, how you guys doing? I absolutely love the show.
Hey, not too bad. How you doing?
Good. So I don't want to sound like a pessimist, and I don't want to portray myself as someone who carries an umbrella around always waiting for it to rain, but I'm very concerned. I mean, I think we're 2 weeks away here, if you lose to Green Bay and Buffalo, which are completely feasible with injuries, from going from the one seed to the five seed. So you're going talking about, like, oh, this is a generational team that hasn't been seen since perhaps like the Patriots or the Rams or something like that, to a team that might not even host a playoff game. And depending on your stomach level for Minnesota, like if they're real or not, they keep on winning, you know, so they're every bit the threat that Philly is. I feel dirty after that Bears win. I know Dan Campbell said you can't rate the wins, and that's true. I feel like they had a better coach. We're probably in overtime. Who knows if we win that game? Filthy and bonehead things from J-Mo. It's like that's the second misconduct, the penalty flag for taunting in two in the last 3 weeks. I'm getting concerned, guys, you know.
I understand the level of concern. If they were to lose these two games, George, it will come down to that final game against Minnesota as to who has the division. And I still trust them at that point, especially since I mean, hopefully the injury bug is cured, that they will beat Minnesota and still win the division.
Yeah, and in the doomsday scenario,
hopeful here,
right?
Even in that doomsday scenario that you pointed out, where they lose the next two, you still have the game at Minnesota to win your division and have 14 wins, at least the home playoff game for winning the division. And you never know. I mean, you could, if Philly loses a game, you end up in a tiebreaker scenario for the one seed still. And that's the scenario where you go, boy, I'm really, really leaning into the pessimism of it all. On Cash Ticket yesterday, Valeni asked me a question I think they're going to do today on their show, which was, if I offered you a split the next 2 weeks, would you take it?
Oh, yeah.
And I said no.
Or you think they're going to run the table?
I think there's worst case, they're splitting. Because if they lose to Green Bay, they'll take 10 days to get up off the mat and beat Buffalo with 10 days to prepare. I think Detroit's good enough to win that game at home against Buffalo. So I said, I'm not taking a split deal. There is a chance they win both. I don't think they're losing both. And I think the split is the worst case scenario.
Well, history says they're not going to lose both because they haven't lost back to back. 1-6, yeah, they haven't lost back to back.
So why would
games.
I take the deal if worst case scenario is they split? I'm going to at least play for more, knowing how good this football team is, and give them a chance.
Oh, I get that. But if you're just and yes, I probably wouldn't take that, having thought about it, you know, for another 60 seconds.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at what does it mean for the long term? If they were to split, and the best way to split is obviously lose to Buffalo but beat Green Bay, because it's an AFC team, and it's, do we, when we go through this exercise in terms of how nervous you are, what do you trust more? That Minnesota is going to continue to win out?
No.
That Philly will win out?
Maybe.
Or that the Lions will be able to overcome the odds and split?
I'd put the most faith in the Lions. I would.
Okay.
And the other reason I didn't take his deal is I don't know which one I'm getting in that hypothetical
right.
split. And I really want the Green Bay one because of tiebreaker purposes.
And so that's where when people are gauging their level of nervousness, not just for this game, but for what it means for the entire season, I think you've got to take into account. Now, you know, hey, Minnesota has just completely found ways to win. And they're not playing the same schedule that the Lions are playing. The Eagles have just simply found ways to win. And they really only have one more challenge, and that's the Steelers. Now, there's some division opponents in there, and we know things get weird in the division, but I trust them. And that's where I do get nervous.
Yeah, we put all this pressure. Lions got to win out. Philly has to win out, too. There's more pressure on them. They're currently not in the one seed. Anyway, Dan Campbell was asked about the lookalike contest. Here was his response. He shows up. That'd be great.
Yeah. The hilarious. So that's Sunday, right?
It is Sunday.
Yeah.
And there is a prize.
What is it?
Well, it's being hosted at Hopcat, mm-hmm. and it's free fries for a year.
Oh.
Pretty good deal.
Oh, I love French fries.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to show up and be Dan Campbell?
Exactly.
Any chance? Any chance at all that we could get Colin to trim the beard into a goatee, show up on Sunday?
You think he probably could do a good impression.
He's watched enough because of him.
Exactly. Yeah. He's watched him so much. I think he could. Oh, Tom.
Well, no. So all he has to do is stand behind the giant podium.
We can get him a stepladder, a little stool. He'll be fine.
Yeah, that's what Tom was gesturing back there.
Yes. Yeah, he was giving the little mm-hmm. little buddy comment.
These are starting to become a thing, though, now. These lookalike contests.
There's been pop-ups kind of all over.
Interesting.
It's fun. It's something fun to do, and everyone loves Dan Campbell.
You show up to Hopcat, and there's a whole bunch of people that don't look like him, but they've done that. They shaved the goatee, and they show up somehow trying to emulate Dan Campbell.
Exactly.
I think it would be hilarious.
I love this team, man. All right, let's get to Heather in the news.
Was that your impression? Gosh, you look just like him.
Yeah.
Yes. Whoa.
Just throwing a bunch of mans, and you're halfway there.
Can we get you to shave the goatee as well?
No.
No.
Wow, you almost have
it's
one.
It's mostly there.
It'll grow back.
You could drop a say it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm on the radio.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So for the third straight... Yep, for the third straight year, this year's NFL Thanksgiving Day games broke multiple viewership records. So the Lions-Bears game averaged 37.5 million viewers, which is the most watched early Thanksgiving Day game on record.
Wow.
So that's pretty awesome. That number is up more than 11% compared to last year's Lions-Packers game. And then later, the Cowboys-Giants game averaged 38.8 million viewers, making it the fourth most watched Thanksgiving game on record and the fifth most watched NFL regular season game on record.
It's amazing the draw of the NFL because that was a garbage game. Mm-hmm. It was terrible.
Yep. Overall, average viewership across all three games on Thanksgiving was $34.2 million. It's the highest Thanksgiving Day on record. People were tuning in. Mm. It's pretty incredible. Of all the colleges in Michigan, the University of Michigan is the toughest to get into.
Uh-oh.
So prospective in-state and out-of-state students have less than a 1 in 5 chance of getting admitted. And this is all from an article from 24/7 Wall Street, kind of dives into the hardest colleges to get into in every single state. So looks at each state. They take into account admission rates, median SAT scores, things like that, right? Of students admitted in the fall of 2022. So out of the 27 schools they looked at in Michigan, U of M was the most elusive for prospective students. They have an admissions rate of 17.7%, a median SAT score of 720 for the reading and writing, 750 in math, a graduation rate of 93%. Hillsdale College was
number two.
I don't have a full list. I'd like to see all of them.
Yeah.
I was behind a paywall on the article you sent me, John, so I couldn't see it. So I don't know if they had the full list or not. But
they did. You could scroll through different pages.
I did get a full list of the top party schools in Michigan, though. And guess which, who's number one there?
Your alma mater. Yeah, I'm sure.
Michigan State.
Yeah. One of the things that I know it did mention, and you'll experience this in more than a few years, the implication or the implementation of the new application system of being able to do it online and then just click a couple of buttons. There's always a fee involved, but then to be able to the Common App to be able to send your application to multiple universities has made it so much easier than when we went through the process.
That's what I've heard. I've been talking with my nieces and nephews who are going on to college process, and I can just apply anywhere. Basically, it's so easy to apply, which is awesome. It should be. Make it easier for people to go to school.
Yeah.
Right?
I love how you said it a few years away. Like,
she's almost three. So.
Right. Yes. Yes. So, 16, 15, 14.
By the time Teddy and Emily are going to school in Brooks, it's going to be a whole nother process.
Yeah, they'll just be able to blink their eyes.
Exactly. I want to go here.
Yeah.
A Waterford man has been charged with trafficking women outside of a variety of hotels in Waterford and other areas. Waterford police arrested 43-year-old Quincy Bland on November 26th after they came across a possible trafficking victim and interviewed her. He has now been charged with two counts of engaging in human trafficking, resulting in injury, two counts of transporting a person for purposes of prostitution, two counts of accepting earnings from a prostitute, one count of delivering and manufacturing drugs, and two counts of misdemeanor assault and battery. If convicted, he faces up to 20 years in prison. Hopefully he gets exactly that. For the 12th year in a row, a Secret Santa has dropped off that rare gold coin in a Salvation Army red kettle in Macomb County. However, it's coming to an end because whoever dropped it off also delivered a note with the coin that basically said this year's donation was going to be the last.
Oh, they're out of coins?
Out of coins. They don't have any more. No? Well, I hope it's not... Whoever this is, I hope it's not physically their last, but they no longer have any more of these coins. They're like Krugerrands is what they're called. So it says, I'm sorry to say this is my last Krugerrand, hoping there are others who have these coins that can help keep the tradition in the future to help so many people in need during the holidays. God bless. So
I wonder if they'll take doubloons versus the Krugerrand, the gold doubloon. We got any pirates out there?
The coin is valued at about almost $3,000, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
No kidding. Heather with the news. All right. Coming up next, we'll tell you how you can win those Lions tickets for tomorrow against the Packers. We're going to talk about Michigan football. Sharon Moore lands a big recruit, beats Ohio State, fires his offensive coordinator. So what do you think of Sharon now? It's next. 97.1. Dive into the best pool in history at Stadium Swim. Circa Resort and Casino, we've been telling you about this, and especially as the weather's getting colder, you might want to be planning a trip out to paradise for the sports fan, where you can catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience that's built for us. Six pools, three different levels, always a perfect view of that 40-foot tall high-definition screen. Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch all the big games. They've got swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, a nonstop party for you. All you got to do, make some plans. Score your perfect game day spot. Cozy day beds, private cabanas, lounge at the center of the action. But reserve your place today. Get some friends together. Get the fam. Get out to Vegas. It's 365 days of sports poolside. Located at Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. That's Stadium Swim. All sports, all seasons. Book your spot today. CircaLasVegas.com. Golden opportunity. Wings don't bury it. Lose. Blew a third period lead. Lose in overtime to the Boston Bruins. Pistons lost last night as well. We made a big deal about them. Hey, NBA Cup game. We'll get to it at 8:02.
Yeah, the buildup was there. We had JB on yesterday. Hey, something on the line. Let's get these guys going.
And instead, an utter waste of everybody's time. All right, let's talk Michigan football here, John. Season. It's still got a bowl game, but season has wrapped up. And we've got some questions about Sharon Moore and how the program is viewed. We also have those Lions tickets to give away. And here's how you're going to win them. You're going to be listening in the next hour, 60 minutes, when you hear a drop of Jeff Rieger. And it'll stand out. You know Jeff Rieger's voice.
Yeah, it'll stand out.
His voice will be saying, if you don't do it in the landing strip.
Oh,
when you hear Jeff Rieger talking about the landing strip, you're going to call in. You got your shot to win a pair of tickets to see the Lions and the Packers tomorrow night, prime time matchup. And you'll also get VIP tailgate passes at Eastern Market by the Bullseye Group. That's the Lions VIP tailgate. All you can eat, open bar, 3 hours before kickoff. So be listening in the next hour for your chance to win. All right, Sherrone Moore. What we thought about him in the middle of the season. We got a lot of phone calls about people saying that they thought he was in over his head. People that just didn't think it was going to work. Didn't think he had forged an identity. And some people wanted him out and out fired in the middle of the season. I would love to check in with Michigan fans today. And John, I would love to get your perspective on it too. Sherrone Moore, since that midpoint of the season, listen, 7-5 is nothing to be thrilled with. But they did put up 50 points against Northwestern and then parlay that into a win against Ohio State. Sherrone Moore is now 2-0 against the Buckeyes. He's set to land the number one recruit in America at the key critical position of quarterback, which we spent a lot of time talking about how they don't have a difference maker at quarterback. And he fired Kirk Campbell yesterday, the offensive coordinator. And we had so many conversations with Sherrone about, are you going to take over play calling or what's going on with the offense? And it sounds like we weren't crazy. He just waited to the end of the season before making this change.
Yeah, it was one that was needed. And you score 50 against Northwestern. And that's not necessarily a selling point because you should score 50 by rolling the ball out against Northwestern. Not a good team. Should have done that, you know, if Purdue was on the schedule. But you look at the rest of the season, and it never felt like there was an improvement from an offensive standpoint, from a quarterback plays standpoint, because not only was he the, you know, offensive coordinator, he's quarterback coach. And yet Davis Warren played better in his second go round, but was that by default? Right. You know, kind of felt like it more was by default. And here's the other thing, in terms of just the offense's construction, you always know that Michigan, their identity is going to be to run the ball, and they should be able to run the ball. They replaced five offensive linemen, and they struggled at times in even doing that. But how many times did you see open receivers that the quarterback just didn't hit? I can literally count on one hand the catches that were thrown that weren't caught. And I mean, I know, was it Tyler Morris had one that could have been for a first down early in the third quarter that he ended up dropping, should have caught. But there are very, very few of those. And whether it's a lack of talent at receiver or the scheme of not just being able to route trees, every once in a while, you're going to have a guy running free. There just weren't those that were happening. And it felt like there was no true forethought into, all right, this is what we're doing in the first half. This is our game plan in the second half because we are setting these up later on in the game or even in a series of downs. Like, we're going to run this on first down, which if we get into third and short, allows us to do this on third down or later in the drive. It never felt like there was any setup. It was just throwing darts at a wall for the plays. Now, I against Northwestern, I loved the play where Max Bredesen catches the ball in the flat because that's one that they had run time and time again where he's the lead blocker.
They set it up. Yep.
But where was that the rest of the season?
I know.
And so there were moments where you're like, okay, nice. But again, you can count on one hand those moments.
248-539-9797. This change had to happen. Michigan's offense was terrible. 128th in yardage this season. There's only 133 schools. They were one of the five or six worst offenses at moving the ball. Passing the ball, as you'd imagine, they were 130th. They only threw for 62 yards, even in the win against Ohio State. There needed to be a change with this offense. Some of that will come with a new quarterback. Some of it is going to come with a new play caller. But all of it had to be identified by Sherrone Moore. So I'm curious where people are at with Sherrone. He took a lot of flack this season, and I think deservedly so. There were some games and some moments where I thought the questioning, there were some questions to be asked about coaching decisions. But as they round out the year, as they build some momentum, how do you feel about him moving Michigan football forward into next season and beyond?
Well, in terms of moving forward, we saw this with the Lions, right? It was Dan Campbell and Anthony Lynn. And the way that they played that year, it was mid-season that Dan Campbell took over play calling. Didn't fire Anthony Lynn, but just reassigned him, and then eventually, yeah, Anthony Lynn was no longer with the Lions. Is this similar to that, where Sharon, he made a hire, it didn't go the way that he thought it would, and maybe you thought he should have at least taken over play calling himself,
yes.
Because as a play caller, we've found out over the last 3 years, he's pretty good at it. Never did, but finally came to the conclusion that this just isn't working. It's not getting any better. We'll do this at the end of the year, and finally made the change. Now he knows better as to whether or not he's going to be the one that calls plays. He could still hire an offensive coordinator, but maybe he decided, you know what, I am going to be the one that calls the plays. Can go out there and hire anybody. Can't hire anybody he wants, but he can make the call to anybody he wants.
So I've seen some names floated out. I want to throw some at you before the hour ends here. And Michigan fans, if you got names that you want, we can have that conversation too. But I think just anchoring the talk about Sharon Moore and the state of the program, you fire Kirk Campbell, you got Bryce Underwood coming in, you beat Ohio State, you're 2-0 against the Buckeyes. Is there some real mojo, or do you still need to see a little more from Michigan right now? We'll get some of those thoughts next. It's 97.1.
When it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems. And when dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency, your case could take a lot of twists and turns. Your first call should be to an experienced law firm like Abraham & Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, no matter if it's civil or criminal or even the Michigan Department of Treasury. And trust me, you want someone on your side. Also, someone that knows exactly what the IRS is up to, whether personal income tax or business payroll taxes. You're going to need a real team of local lawyers, not some tax organization with a random individual that you're never going to meet. Visit abrahamandrose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
What do Michigan fans think of Sharon Moore? A lot of talk, first season, ups and downs, 7-5 is not good enough. Even he would tell you that. They made the change at OC, firing Kirk Campbell. Had to happen. 128th in total offense, 130th in passing yards. Had to happen. They need a difference maker at quarterback. Today, signing day, Bryce Underwood. He was at the Pistons game last night, said go blue. Expected to be the centerpiece for Sharon Moore moving forward on offense. They still have to hire an OC. 2-0 against Ohio State. I think it's an interesting time to ask Michigan fans, what do you think of Sharon Moore after his first season, and how do you feel about him moving forward? 248-539-9797. John, it's clear he gets the physicality, he gets the rivalry, he gets Ohio State. There were times, though, this season, like the Indiana game, where he didn't get timeout usage, which is a concern for a guy running the entire operation as a head coach. Now, maybe you say it's his first year as a head coach, and that's going to get better. I didn't like some of the decisions in that Indiana game, conservative play calls on the third down run, only to then kick it and then the red zone to not go for it. I think you still might be in a wait and see with him, but there's certainly more of a spark over the last 2 weeks than there were the previous 2 months. And that's how I would look at it.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I like the fact that he's willing to make changes. It's hard when you build relationships to make decisions like this. We saw Brady Hoke be defiant in his loyalty to his assistant coaches. And I mean, there's a certain quality in that, but we saw Jim Harbaugh not only take the play calling away from himself, but fire other offensive coordinators until he finally found something that worked for Michigan. Now, we all know that he was still a large part of putting the offensive game plan together, but he wasn't the one calling it on Saturdays, eventually getting to Sharon Moore. Now, The issue is, okay, as an assistant coach, Sharon Moore is around Kirk Campbell, around the other assistant coaches, and then he's the one that gets promoted to offensive coordinator. Then he is the one that gets promoted to head coach. But you have been in the mud with these guys, developed relationships through good and bad times, and then to have to be the one that's in charge of the entire thing, and then making this call of firing a friend.
Yep.
Like, that's not an easy thing to do. But
had to happen.
It's what leaders do. So I like the fact that he's showing some leadership, showing some backbone to be able to make these decisions. Now, what does it mean for the rest of the offensive staff? Do you bring in an offensive coordinator and he says, well, I want this guy, and this guy to be working with me? again, that's going to be a decision that Sherrone Moore has to make, or does he say, this is your staff, you know, you work with it?
I want to throw some names at you, and then we're going to take some phone calls. Because I'm not going to pretend that this is the complete list or that this is one of the guys they will hire, but just doing a perusing of the internet and different blogs and names, and I want to throw a few at you, and you just tell me your instant reaction if Michigan made that move. Brian Griese.
I would be very excited, you know, to have a friend come home. And he has done a tremendous job of being a quarterback coach out in San Francisco. I mean, you get Mr. Irrelevant to play even to the level that he is. You know, I'm not going to sit here and argue, is he a great quarterback, all that stuff.
Well, how much of that is Shanahan's system versus Greece?
But are you bringing Shanahan's system to Ann Arbor?
Which is a very pro, it's running, but also pro style and downfield throws and yards after catch. And maybe that's appealing. How about another name? Dan Mullen.
I've heard this one.
Top of most lists I've seen, right? Wasn't a great head coach, but was a really good play caller. He had mobile quarterbacks, Bryce Underwood coming in, mobile quarterback, maybe modernized, still a run offense, but still have some downfield throws to it as well. Dan Mullen, you'd like that name.
I do. And I like the fact that he would, again, it would be much more of a downfield passing attack. It would revolutionize the Michigan offense. And this would be interesting because it would have to be, we mentioned it already, the identity of Michigan is being a physical upfront running team. It doesn't mean that that has to be the showpiece all the time, but it's part of your identity. It is certainly part of the identity of Sherrone Moore. I mean, he talks about smash. He talks about calling plays. We saw it last year against Penn State. Hey, you know, passing game's not there. It's not working. You had a good quarterback. And you had good receivers, but they didn't run the ball in the second half. Heck, they didn't run the ball the rest of the first half. So how would Dan Mullen mesh with what's already here and the way that Sherrone Moore envisions his offense?
I think experience helps too. Sherrone is still in his early stages of being a head coach, someone who's been a head coach before, who's not coming in to take your job, but just give you guidance. I think that can be helpful. Joe Moorhead at Akron. Was the OC at Penn State and Oregon. Maybe you rescue him from a broken program in Akron, and that's a guy who can call plays.
Joe's a great dude, too.
Yeah, you know?
He's such a good dude and be a great recruiter. He has had success as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, at multiple high-level stops. The other name that was floated out by, I think it was Bruce Feldman. Yeah, Bruce Feldman threw out Joe Craddock. Tulane's OC, young up-and-comer, pro-style with, quote, wrinkles. I don't know much about him, but there's another name that's being floated.
I'll throw another one out to you. But, Tom, you want to say something?
No, go ahead. You finish.
Byron Leftwich.
Oh, yeah. I've seen him on some lists, too.
Yeah, I think he would be a guy that you got to kick the tires on and see. Does he want to come to the college game? Would he want to come to Ann Arbor? Does he look at this offense? Because, I mean, he had some success as well in the NFL.
He has a relationship with Brady, too,
right?
Of some degree. We don't know if it's necessarily good or bad. I haven't heard bad, but I'm just saying.
Right.
Hey, I think with all this and Campbell getting removed, what about Wink? There's a lot of speculation he was one and done DC.
Maybe.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, so I think some of that, because of the way the defense certainly played the second half of the season, the way the defense played... I mean, there is some adjustment going from the NFL to the college game and making that call. How much does he want to stay in the college game?
Yeah, does he want to recruit? Does he want to get in the weeds? I mean,
well, that's the thing right now, too, John. You know it better than me, but what's coming up the pipeline here? You have multiple guys going in the first round of the draft that are leaving this defense.
The defense has a lot of good talent. And a lot of good young talent. And some of that talent that's going to make decisions on whether they want to play on Saturdays or Sundays next year, it could hinge on Wink. If they like Wink and he ends up coming back, Derek Moore has a decision to make. Kenneth Grant has a decision to make. Now, the way that they played on Saturday, you would think automatically Mason Graham, he's gone.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know, but most people believe he's a top 10 pick.
Move,
Kenneth Grant, did he do enough in that game to say, I'm going to be a top 15 pick, or is the feedback he's getting, you know, am I a late first round where if I come back, maybe I could be a top 15 or a top 10 pick coming out next year? That's a big difference in money, and this is where NIL could play a factor into: do I make the decision to go this year versus next year and improve my draft stock?
And the NIL thing, I think, is a huge piece of this because it's a huge reason why they land this number one recruit. It's going to be a huge factor for Sharone attacking the portal, something he was not in the best position to do last year. I'm not giving him an excuse. I think they could have done more. But clearly, this will be an offseason where he can sink his teeth into the portal. You're going to need NIL. You're going to need a vision. You're going to need a new offensive coordinator. You're going to need a new vision. But let's get some phone calls in on this. Phil and Tecumseh, you're on 97.1.
What's happening, fellas? Hey, as far as, you know, Sharone, I think, like, the clock starts ticking now, really. I mean, you know, you're busy winning a national championship, which I guess that's probably a good problem. So, you know, coaches and players, everybody disappears, and you kind of have what you have at that point. And now, okay, it was a rough season, but, hey, he makes the move by moving Kirk Campbell on a little bit early in the process. Not early, but you know what I'm saying. So yeah. Now we've got opportunity for a national search here. We've got options. And we've seen, you know, the head coach becomes more of the NFL general manager and coach. And so now he's been working the NIL stuff. He's been working the recruiting. I think we're getting a good glimpse as to what's coming behind the scenes. And, you know, like the timeout stuff, that stuff's going to happen. I mean, I'm not going to die on that hill. I think we're getting a good glimpse of a promising future from some early hard decisions. Like you said, John, there's relationships there and you have to say, okay, but I have to put the program first. And he showed us, you know, yesterday that's what he's going
to
do.
Yeah, it's not an easy decision to make, but it's the one that he had to make.
Phone calls immediately after the update. You guys got a lot to say on this. Sharone Moore, how do you feel about the coach as year one wraps up? It's 97.1.